Finding rest, right? Week one, Pastor Sean shared on rest as a rhythm, okay? And week two, my friend from Every Nation Dubai, Pastor Peter, shared about rest as a refuge. Today, I'll be talking about rest to rejoice. Let me ask you guys this question. And I think somebody needs to help me with this slide because I've already went through this slide. Thank you very much. Let me ask you guys this question. When was the last time you had joy or experienced joy? Okay? Ask yourself that. You know, one of my greatest joy growing up, at least when I was a kid, was flying. Okay? And I was so excited to flying. Every time when my mom and dad would tell me that we're going to go for a vacation, we're going to fly and we're going to have fun. And love it. Always look forward to it. So my mom told me when I was young and I was on the plane, I would ask her this question every time when we're on the plane. I was like, Mom, where is Jesus? I would look outside. And the reason why, because everybody told me that Jesus is up there. So here I am about 4 or 5 years old. I'm looking for Jesus outside, but he's not there. But I enjoyed flying. And I remembered it was one trip that changed all that. What was a joy for me became fear, okay? And I remember this so clearly. I was in Singapore for vacation and on the way back home. And what happened was, so we're 30,000 feet in the air, and we were caught in the turbulence. So we're flying and we're shaking and stuff. Then all of a sudden, the plane dropped for about 5 to 8 seconds. That was the longest 5 to 8 seconds of my life. My heart not only went up, it went out of my mouth because that's what happened. And after that, I hated flying. And I say the word hate, I know it's strong, but I really, really, really hate flying, okay? But I can't escape it. My family likes to go for vacation and stuff. At most, I'll try, hey, why don't we drive to Singapore? Don't worry, I'll drive 4 hours. Piece of cake, but want to fly, you know, conferences, we go for conferences and stuff like that, so I have no choice but to fly and stuff, but that was my fear, you know, and, you know, as humans, we crave for joy, okay, we crave for joy, and that's how we are created. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that we have, okay, but when what we enjoy takes center stage, when it's supposed to be God, that's where the problem is, okay? It's kind of like idolatry. No, it is idolatry. For those who don't know what idolatry is, it means extreme admiration, love, or reverence for something or someone. A few years ago, I actually preached on the topic of rest. And if I can clearly remember what I shared that rest in today's culture has a bad rep. Okay, let me give you guys an example. If your boss catches you not doing work when it's actually your free time, you're considered lazy. Somebody left. Okay, anybody lazy here? Raise your hands. Okay, I saw some people, all right. Okay, anyways. So in ancient times, okay, I want you guys to get this, all right? Forget about the ancient times. Let me leave you guys with a thought. Now, people on stage, previous weeks and the weeks to come, they will give you guys an idea of what rest is, okay? I'm going to give you guys an idea of what rest is and what it's not, all right? And I'm going to set the stage because this is pretty much what's going to set us for the next few minutes, all right? So here is the idea of what rest is and what it's not, all right? Number one, rest is not the absence of work. It is the presence of the King, okay? Sit on that, marinate, I'll get back to you guys. Let me repeat myself over here. Rest is not the absence of work. It's the presence of the King. Okay? Marinate on that, and I'll tell you why. In ancient times, when a battle is won, doesn't matter whether it's to defend a nation or to conquer a land, the next course of action that needs to take place is that the throne needs to be occupied. Okay, following me so far? And why is that? Because when there is no king occupying the throne, there is no rest. there is no peace, only chaos. But when a king occupies the throne, there's stability. Regular rhythms such as economy and social interaction is possible because people know that they aren't at war and there is a king occupying the throne. So think about it. People can work in peace. People can clean their houses, eat their food with no fear, enjoy their time with their family and their friends. All this because they know that the battle is won, there is no war, and there's a king on the throne. If you're tired and weary, unable to enjoy life's purposeful, what life's purpose and meaning is, you may want to ask yourself this question. Who is on the throne? Who is on the throne? So rest is not the absence of work. In fact, the biblical idea of rest is that we can work, we can eat, we can enjoy knowing that there is a king occupying the throne. And because we know that there is a king occupying the throne, get this, we can even cease to work because we know we trust God enough to know that when we stop work, everything is going to be okay. Amen? So rest to work. Rest to rejoice. I'm sorry. Praise God. Okay, God, I need you here right now. All right, rest to rejoice. I put the Psalms that we're going to be reading this morning. It's in Psalm 16. And I would love everybody to stand up in our feet as we read and give reverence to the word, all right? So we're going to read it all the way from Psalm 16, verse 1, all the way to 11. Okay, I'm going to count to three. Let's go. One, two, three. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to you, Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good part from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my God. You hold my law. The lies that fall before me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh swells up so for you. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Papa, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, be with us even right now. I pray that your word will penetrate the hearts and the minds of the people who are hearing your word. Let your word be mine. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys may take a seat. We're going to find out how to find rest and to rejoice in the Lord through David, who seemed to have figured it out. Now, I'm not pretty sure about why the Psalms is written or the background or the context, but if you read verse 1, which is, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. We can have an idea of what David is going through, all right? Because he's asking God to preserve him. He could be probably being chased down by an enemy. Maybe Saul was chasing him. Maybe a king from another nation must be like pestering him and stuff. But he was asking God in the beginning of this verse, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Now, if you're reading the Psalms, the tone of the Psalms, all right, was not out of despair, was not out of complaint, but it was out of settled joy. Despite the trouble that David was in, his pursuers pursuing him, David had a praise confidence in God. In verse 5, it says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me, and in pleasant places, indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." Now, pay attention to this, because this is going to be my first point. David was able to rest in the midst of what he's going through because he has God. We need God. Ask your neighbor, do you have God? Ask your neighbor. All right? Now, I want you guys to pay attention to verse 5. It says that the Lord is my portion, my cup, you hold my lot. Okay, now in the days of Moses, God said to the priests, which is the tribe of Levi, in chapter 18, verse 20, he says that, "I am your portion and your inheritance." Now, the land of Israel were divided amongst the 12 tribes, in which out of the 12 tribes, only one tribe didn't get a land, didn't get a portion or an inheritance physically. And why? Because God told them that he will be their portion. He will be their inheritance. Let me read the verse, all right? "The Lord said to Aaron, 'You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites.'" You know, if you read the verse right after that, he says that all the tithes, say all, all the tithes that Israel gives to God will go to the Levites to do the work of the Lord. Honestly, if you think about it, it's kind of like the best deal ever, right? I think it's much better. They did not get, instead of land, they got God. In other words, they got everything. That's the best deal. So David understood that this promise was not only given to the priests, but to all, say all, who would trust God to be the portion of their inheritance. You guys know what subscription is? Subscription? All right? Like, I know some of us, if most of us are subscribed to Netflix, YouTube, all that, all right? Some of us are subscribed to something either monthly or annually, only because if the product you're subscribing to is something that you enjoy or it has something that will benefit you in the end, okay? We won't hesitate but to subscribe, okay? Church, in regards to whatever we're doing here technically, we subscribe to like things like Photoshop or Adobe, whatever software is and all stuff, but subscription, that's the name of the game. Do you know what you've inherited? David knew what his inheritance is. It was not only for the priests, it was for all who trusted in God. Do you know what you subscribed to when you said yes to God? He knew. All right, let me give you guys an idea what we've subscribed to when we said yes to God. The God that we worship, the God that David worshiped, the God that we're singing today was the one who created the heavens and the earth. By his word, things came to be. This is the God who heals the sick, who heals the lame, who tells the lepers, go dip yourself in the water and come out, and completely he is healed. He is the God who heals the blind. He is the God who rescued a nation from slavery to go to the promised land. He protected them by fire at night and pillars of cloud. He parted the Red Sea. This is the God. He is the God who also provides their needs. He can provide your needs as well. This is what we're subscribed to. David knew God. He has God. He chose what is good. David saw how beautiful his inheritance is. Do we see the beauty of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus? And this is why David can find rest and joy in the midst of his pursuers. Do we have God? Do you know God? David, in the midst of what he's going through, can still find rest and is able to rejoice because he has God. We need God. In verse 7, I bless the Lord. He gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. So David has God. The second thing that we can learn from David is that not only does he have God, but he walks with God. We need, number two, we need to walk with God. How many of you guys know to walk is an action word? It requires action. If you want to go from point A to point B, you need to walk. Okay? It's an action word. You know, my wife, okay, whenever I do something wrong to my wife, I mean, I don't do anything wrong with my wife. My wife does something wrong to me. No, just kidding. It's the other way around. No. Okay, let me go back. Whenever I do, for example, I forgot to throw the garbage, all right? I forgot to throw the trash. And so the next day, my wife will see the trash still there. And she'll look at me with anger, like the wrath of God. She look at me and she's like, what's this? I'm like, that's trash. Okay. So I'll apologize to her. I'm like, okay, I'll clear it out. I'll clear it out. So I'll apologize to her. And then, you know how my wife says, I forgive you? Yeah, you guys don't want to know how my wife says, I forgive you? Here's the thing. Because my wife is somewhere. Oh, no, she hid. She was there. She's gone. She's okay, anyways. I'll do it this side since you said it's there. Okay. You know what my wife said? My wife said, talk is cheap. Just do. Okay, so that's how she says, I forgive you. You know, and talk is cheap. Just do. I just need to act on it and then that's it. Okay, so it's not enough to just know God. We need to walk with God, all right? Again, Christianity is one of the biggest religions in the world. The Muslims know him, the Buddhists know him, the Hindus know him, even the atheists know God. They just don't walk with him. And verse 7 and 8 is an open secret that David shares where we can find joy in life. Even right now, when we were reading it, I'm sure we missed it. We missed that part. And it's the same for all the other promises of God. We just read through and skip through and we forget that there's a promise over there. There is something for each and every one of us that we can apply in our lives only if we understand. Okay, the fact, if you guys, okay, in verse 7, it starts off with this. I bless the Lord. All right, in verse 7, I bless the Lord. Who counsels me? Okay, I bless the Lord. The word bless there means that is an indication that the person, David, when he said that, he worships God. All right? Now, I'm not going to talk about worship, okay? I just want you to know that by him saying, I bless the Lord, it shows that this person, David, worships God. Somebody who is able to say, I bless you, Lord, I worship you, God, is a person that you can tell has a relationship with God. All right? So David, because of the relationship with God, he was able to recognize his voice and obey. Some of us find it hard. And get this, some of us find it hard to recognize the voice of God simply because we don't have any relationship with him. When my kids were young, about 2 or 3 years old, our neighbor would have similar kids with a similar age group. Our kids sleep early, about 6:30 in the evening, 6:30 p.m. And that's when me and my wife will do ministry. So we'll ask people to come to our house, whether it's a couple or an individual who would like to meet one of us and stuff. And whenever they hear a baby cry, they will look at me and my wife and say, oh, your baby is crying. And we like look at each other and we look at our visitors. It's like, oh, that's not ours. That's the neighbor's baby. And one, because we took care of our kids. We have relationship with our kids. We spend time with them enough to recognize how they sound like. Okay? If my kids were here and all of you guys are talking, I can tell where my kids are because I recognize their voice. They're my kids. I recognize them. I have a relationship with them. You know, in the same way, David recognized God because he has a relationship with God. He walked with God. David knew that it's not enough to just know God, which most of us over here know God. It's important for us to also walk with him. And the more we relate with him, the more we worship him, the clearer his voice is, the clearer his counsel is, the clearer his instruction is for our lives. Verse 8, he says, he have set the Lord always before him. Because he is at the right hand, I will not be shaken. So not only does he relate with him, he puts God first. Some of us run ahead of God as if it was the Olympics. That when we cross the finish line, we find ourselves disappointed. Some of us don't even run to God. We run to other things like food, other relationship, pornography, shopping. Have you ever gone online and purchased something you think you need, only when it arrived, you're like feeling all crappy, disappointed? I'm like, I know how that feels. That's why my wife is so angry with me. It's frustrating. There is a limit to how far earthly things, earthly possession, earthly counsel, earthly wisdom can get us. But the Word of God, say the Word of God. Say it again, the Word of God, who counsel us, is pure, is sincere, is full of mercy, full of grace, is what preserved David in his lifetime, and I'm pretty sure it can preserve us as well in our lifetime. And that's the secret right there. When we look at verse 9 of Psalm 16, it says that, therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. The reason to why David can say that my heart is glad, because he has God. The reason to why David can say that my whole being rejoices is because he walks with God. Verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, Sheol meaning death, or let your Holy One see corruption. Guys, God is so concerned about your life, our lives, our whole being, that he will not abandon us to death. That's how God is concerned about us. So just like David, in the midst of what he's going through, asking God to preserve him, can still find rest and is able to rejoice because not only does he have God, but he walks with God. Verse 11, you make known the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This kind of like summarizes whatever I'm just preaching today. You know, you make known the path of life. As I mentioned, God is concerned about our lives, that he leads us, he counsels us, he instructs us, only if we walk with the Lord, right? As we recognize his voice, he makes known the path of life. Going on, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Do you remember what I said earlier? Who is on the throne? Who is on the throne? In the presence of the King, there is fullness of joy. When we know who sits on the throne, and we are secure knowing that it is God, we operate from a place of victory, from a place of peace, from a place of joy, knowing he's in control. We just need to be aware of that. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, the right hand of God, metaphorically speaking, scripturally speaking, talks about God's strength and power. At his right hand, we partake in the gifts of his blessing, his love, his companionship, his care, his power, and his protection. That is the right hand of God. David, when he said, at your right hand are pleasures forever, he was expressing his trust in God, not only in this lifetime, but also the next. He trusted God enough that not even death could interrupt the joy and the pleasure that he receives from God. You know, I'm over 40 years old. I've lived long enough in this world. I mean, I definitely have longer years and stuff, but the more I realize, the more I grow and the more I mature in the age, the more I realize that my days on earth are kind of numbered. Me and my wife, we talked about it. You know, what happens if it so happens one of us move on and stuff? You know, anything can happen. When I was 20 years old or turning 20, I felt immortal. I felt like life ahead of me was for an eternity. But in reality, it's not. You can put makeup, hair transplant, hair color, eat the right food, eat healthy food, even exercise, which is great for some sanity or some give us some longevity. But we all know it's only temporal. We need to start living with eternity in mind, finding rest not only for our body, but also for our soul. And so, what I'm trying to say, based on the life of David, is this. It is not enough to just know God. It is not enough to walk with God whenever we feel like it. And this is my third point. We need to walk with God always. Some of you guys might be thinking, Neil, this is so simple. It's so easy, your message. But I'm pretty sure some of you guys agree that the most simplest things in life, the simplest instructions, is probably the hardest thing to even do. I can forget to throw the trash in the morning. How much more to walk with God? You know, there's no such thing as a problem-free life. We will face challenges. We'll have difficulties and attacks in many levels. David knew that. That's why he started off his verse, his Psalms, by asking God to preserve him, because God is his refuge. He knew that. He needed God. And yet, and I want you guys to get this, yet a life committed to him, a life committed to God, in which God occupies that throne, makes the journey enjoyable, makes the journey secure, and makes the journey blessed. Rest to rejoice. It's possible when we have God, when we walk with God, and when we walk with God always. So we're going to come before the Lord, and just like what he said on verse 8, he says he puts God first. We're going to do that right now as we enter a time of ministry. We're going to put God first. Why don't we all arise? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him. And I repeat, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went through all that so that he can conquer death because of his great love for us. And today, he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. He sits on the throne. Who is on the throne? You may want to ask yourself that. Who is on the throne? Some of us have been working hard. We've been working so long, and yet we fail to deny that we're tired. Some of us have been praying and believing for something to happen for so long, we don't see anything, and we are getting so tired of it, questioning God. God, where are you? Some of us are striving to meet some satisfaction. Just because we felt some sort of satisfaction in the things that we do, we tend to do it over and over again just for the thrill of it, when we know that we're just wasting our time because it's not long lasting. Who is on the throne? I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me all my days. place. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. Let's sing it again from the top. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, and all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Sing again, all my life. In all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Sing, I love your voice. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness God all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am able,
I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. All my life, sing it out. It's all my
life you have been faithful.
Declare that he is good.
All my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing all the goodness. So God, you know, I want to invite the ministers to come up here in the front. So ministers, if you guys are on duty, please come up here in the front. And I want everybody to not miss the goodness of God. The goodness of God. God is good. God is good. If some of you guys even forgot that the goodness of God, the goodness of God that he has for us. I want you guys to come up in the front, even right now. And it's okay. You don't have to worry about the person next to you. Please, please, please. That's the last thing you guys need to think about. If you're somebody in this place who has missed the taste, who has missed seeing how the Lord is good, I want you to come up here in the front right now so that the prayer ministers can pray for you. Together, let's do that. So if you are somebody in this place, come up to the front. This is a time between you and God. This is a time where we can partner with you. Make your way to the front. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Don't be afraid. Again, I'm calling out those people who have been working day in, day out, and just so tired. Maybe you're somebody in this place who has never realized that you're tired. I'm here to tell you that this God cares about you. This God knows what you're going through. I want to read this passage in Psalms 1-7, all right? It says that, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who builds it? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to work, to still stay up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Guys, God wants to give you rest. God wants to give you sleep. He loves you enough that he wants to give you rest. Guys, get that. So if you're someone over here, stop being in denial. Come to the front and let us pray for you. Oh God, oh God, oh God. If you're someone in this place that who has been so discouraged because you've been praying to God for certain things in life, maybe for yourself, maybe for your family, and you've lost the joy. It's all been sucked up because of believing and nothing's been happening. Come up, come up, come up. And we will pray for you. We want to partner with you. Come on. Make your way up. This is you and God. This is you and God. If you bought a friend over here, and if you may want to ask your friend if there's anything that we can pray for, you may want to encourage your friend to come up in the front. We want to pray for you. You want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. For the rest of us over here, we're going to worship the Lord. And it's okay if you're in the state where you can find rest and joy. It's all good. But we're going to come before the Lord as we sing the song again. All right? And ask God to renew us, refresh us. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. Come on. And all my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God all my life. In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing all the goodness of God. I love your voice, your voice. You have led me through the fire. Come on, sing it out. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. It's all my life. Sing on. Still time for you guys to come up in the front. So if it's someone that you, if you guys need prayer and need someone to partner with you, I want to encourage you guys again to come up to the front. For the rest of us, service is over, but I want to leave you guys with a reminder that it's not enough to just know who God is. It's not enough to just walk with Him whenever we feel like it. We need to walk with God always. With that, just want to thank you for coming. Enjoy your Sunday weekend. Have a blessed time.